Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick and JP back on Afternoon Drive. We've got Pete Futek coming up at 4:20 today. We got the quarterback Deadpool coming up in 40 minutes. Mac has been making hay in the quarterback Deadpool. The rest of us, we're just getting by.
We had a college football savant among us.
We do. Who knew? The guy who couldn't find a third quarterback in the draft. He's gone from hacksaw in the quarterback Deadpool to not being hacksaw, and we appreciate him on that one, but the Cavs are back, and they lost, so why do they suck?
I
mean, that's the conversation we got to have.
Yeah, let's have all the answers after one game. Let's try to figure it out. It was obviously not a pretty game. I don't know that I care as much as some other people that Donovan Mitchell, scored a 21-point third quarter and decided to get them back in the game and look at that as a bad thing. To me, that was like, okay, you did what you had. You put the cape on. You put him back in a position. You erased the big deficit and had him leading. And then you got it down to the fourth, and it was what it was.
I just think the funniest thing about, to me, it looked like the quintessential feel-out game. Two teams that didn't look all that ready for the regular season. I know New York made more shots, but It looked like how I think when you have four preseason games and the Cavs hadn't played in over a week's time, that's how that first game should look, right? We're subsiding on good feels and basketball's back, not pounding the pavement and pounding the hard court and saying, how is this happening? Why is this happening? Like, the two most interesting things from last night tangentially happened on the court. They did not happen during actual play. The first one was after the game, Donovan Mitchell dapping every single New York Knick up. Except for Josh Hart.
Yeah.
Which is only going to aid the idea that people think the two of them hate each other, which is funny because I thought they were teammates in Utah, but I don't know if they actually linked up.
He was also teammates with Rudy Gobert in Utah, and we know they hated each other. So
the old microphone toucher.
If anything, being teammates with Donovan, unless you're Joe Ingles. For some reason, that Utah team, it just didn't work for him with making a lot of friends.
Could it be that it was in Utah?
Well, I think Rudy Gobert is just he just kind of stinks.
Yeah. That's fair. I think Utah's beautiful, by the way, but I get it if you're an NBA player and you don't feel comfortable there.
Have you been to Utah?
Josh Hart never played in Utah.
What did you say?
Josh Hart never played in Utah.
Well, neither did you.
Not with that attitude,
Are you sure he didn't play in Utah?
I'm looking at his senior basketball reference page.
He played in New Orleans. He played in Portland. He played in L.A. That's okay.
You don't need to guess his basketball reference page right now.
I wanted to let everyone know I do know Josh Hart has played in certain NBA cities.
Have you been to Utah?
Yes. Kind of. So, I have not been to Salt Lake City.
Okay.
But I got to tell you, I've seen pictures of it, and I'd really like to go.
I went when Wichita State, when they were in the opening round of the March Madness tournament, I went, and that was quite a boring city.
So I've been to Tahoe, and I've been to one of the other
small towns. But I'm not a skier, though. I'm not a skier. Like, if I love skiing or something like that, then I'm sure I would have had a great time in Salt Lake City.
I just think it looks beautiful. I just think and you don't have, like, the earthquake concern that other mountainous areas have.
Yeah, that's always a problem.
That's some pretty strong Utah analysis there. I'm going to bail out of that.
The Josh Hart situation, that was the one, and I'm assuming the other one you're going to highlight here is Jared Allen and what he said before the game.
Yes, and we're going to play Jared Allen's comments as heard The attempt at a joke here by ESPN.
Is it just me? Or the lights in here brighter than expected?
So that harkens back to 3 years ago getting bounced out of the series by the Knicks and Jared Allen saying, I guess the lights were brighter than we expected. In fairness, he has come to say he kind of said that tongue-in-cheek when he said that originally. But it doesn't matter. People were pissed that he said this yesterday.
People were pissed. I understand why people were pissed. I think the problem that me and you are going to have in this discussion, I don't want to speak for you, I don't know where you stand on it, is more the idea that we have an appreciation for comedy that we can't let go of in this situation.
Yeah, it's a funny bit.
It's a funny bit.
It's a really funny bit.
I get why it made people mad. I understand why it made people mad. But for me,
not last night, I don't understand.
Well, but for me, it was more about him trying to continue the idea that, first off, they're putting those demons in the closet and they're tucking them away, and they can laugh at the problems that they used to have because they're not worried about those problems anymore. He's not concerned about whether the lights are too bright. He's been in bigger moments. He's gotten over that. And if anything, when you can joke about something like that, that's kind of shown that you have.
So I look at it and go, like 3 years ago, I got why you were upset. That made a lot of sense. It really does. I mean, him saying that, even tongue-in-cheek, 3 years ago, because of the way that postseason loss to the Knicks stung, you were the favorites, you were the better team, and you lost in five games. Get it. Now, I mean, the guy had a bad game last night. There's no, I mean, what, 4 points, four rebounds? Yep, he did not have his best game.
Which every now and then Jared has one of those
but
games.
We don't need to do the march on Washington for Jared Allen if he has a bad game. It's not Jared Allen's fault. He's not a superstar level player. The same level as like a Donovan Mitchell, Evan Mobley, or Darius Garland. He's a really damn good basketball player. He had a bad night. And he hearkened back to a joke that he made 3 years ago. I mean, some of the takes I heard on Jared Allen today, as if he can't make that joke, it's like the guy is part of your resurgence, and he's an incredibly valuable basketball player.
And on most nights, he's a walking double-double.
Yes, and by the way, has been an all-star, could be an all-star again in a weakened East this year. Like, I it's weird when we kind of develop these, and I get it, right? I do, because they're like Miles. Like Miles will say something like he did last Friday, and I'll be like, dude, you don't get to say that. So everybody has their soft spot with individual players. Mm-hmm. I don't get why it's Jared Allen. Jared Allen's not the reason you've been bounced out of the playoffs prematurely the last 3 years, because he's more of a role-playing starter than he is a superstar. The failure's on your superstar players.
Yeah, no question. All right, so what did you make inside the game where Mobley starts off incredibly hot? Mobley's aggressive. Mobley's taking three-pointers. And then it felt like Mobley did what we've seen Mobley do before. And we saw him do it, honestly, in the second round of the postseason last year, where he'd have these really nice halves. And this is just the first quarter. And then the second half just be a completely different player.
Is this a cop-out if I say that's like 99% of the NBA? I don't watch most NBA players dominate from the first minute to the 48th minute. That's not really how the game goes. It is a game of runs, and certainly superstar players, oh, you got your 12 points here. You got your 12 points here. Like Donovan.
Yeah, that's the sad part about the NBA. Most players are just trying to get to their number, and then they just kind of stop.
Well, but I don't even think it's like...
But I don't think that was it.
I don't think it's like a cynical thing. I just think, okay, they had a response to him being dominating, and I don't think the offense is going to be incredibly functional or interesting if it's just Evan commanding the offense.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air. And we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
For four quarters. I think it's about when he commands. Now, that's the interesting thing. Like, okay, Evan, you were dominant early, and then you really weren't in the second half. Where was that? That's a fair conversation. But to the big thing of, like, are we going to be tracking when his big runs come all season long? Because that sounds exhausting to me.
No, I think what was startling for fans, or what was at least exciting for fans, is, I mean, he shot 8 3-pointers in that game, and you're like, whoa, that's like you want it. Like, if Evan Mobley is going to be better than Donovan by the time we get to the playoffs and make that ascension into being the best player on this team, how it's going to happen is from, I mean, maybe not 8 3-pointers every night, but elevating that 3-point shot and taking the chances on the outside. And so to see that growth early on, like, I was very encouraged by that. I thought that was a very good sign.
I do think it is, but I think it's something that's going to be a work in progress. And I, like, listen, we're going to need to see a couple games where he does that late in the game. And I really actually did understand Ken's point this morning that Donovan taking over the way he does is not always the best possible scenario, because you're your best when any one of your three best players can do that. That's not about Donovan laying out, though. That's about Evan saying, it's my run, I'm feeling it, I need to take over because we've got the matchup that I'm going to be the best version of that. So I don't think that's a Donovan thing. Like, Donovan, like, if you want Evan to take over in that same moment that Donovan did last night, it's on Evan to throw up the stop sign. And that's a relationship between two players. And I, by the way, I happen to think that if Evan told Donovan that last night, I think Donovan would have gone away, because he's done it for Darius too at different points.
Well, so I think the problem that I think Cavs fans had within that is that they're living with what happened in the second round of the postseason last year, and they're living within game three and game four, where you watch this exact scenario play out in many ways, where you want to say it's Evan putting up the stop sign, call it whatever you want, but it felt like Donovan needed to put the world on his shoulders and then took it upon himself to do so. I just don't think a Donovan Mitchell takeover game is ever a bad thing. I just don't look at it that way.
Yeah, I think that's, like, listen, over 82 games, I'm going to need Evan to take 5 to 10 games over like that. I'm going to need Donovan to take, and I'm just throwing out a random number, I'm just trying to, like, give you the sample size. Donovan's still probably going to take over more than Evan, mm-hmm. and probably going to take more over than Darius. That's okay. Donovan's more used to that. So, as much, though, as there are going to be times where Donovan has to fall back, that's on Evan to make it happen. And the only thing that Donovan, Darius, and Kenny Atkinson can do in that scenario is encourage Evan. But ultimately, if he's not feeling it, or if he's got a side character syndrome, well, that's kind of on the kid. That's not a criticism. That's just the reality of it. I thought the Donovan, I understand the point, but I thought the Donovan criticism was way off base, because yeah. I was like,
no, I did too.
No, well, somebody's got to do it.
Exactly.
Donovan can't look at Evan and go, you like, point at him, like, you can't initiate that for somebody else.
Especially not when you're down 17, like the Cavs were at one point in that game. I mean, that was a obviously they clawed back into it, and because of Donovan, you ended up having the lead near the end of the third. But that was, for many stretches of that game, that was the Knicks dominating.
I watch the reaction to the game. And I think some of it is, I think actually it's a really good thing, because I think people are just excited that basketball's
back. People cared about it. I got worried that a game like that would happen and people would just sweep it under the rug and not really do anything with it anyway. Like, I was almost encouraged at the outrage that I saw, because it tells me that we're going to have a lot of really cool conversations throughout the regular season.
Yeah, that same thing.
People took it too far, though. Hold on. Some people took it too far.
Okay.
Like, when I looked in the Odyssey chaptering today for Baskin and Phelps, and I clicked in the segment and I didn't get to the part where they actually talked about it, because they were talking about phone lines being down or some nonsense. Mm-hmm. But the headline on the title was, should the Cavs trade Darius Garland this offseason? Now that I think might be a little bit of a different reaction than what I want to go for after game one. That, like, that one might be a little bit too, let's not do that after every single game, maybe.
All right, so maybe this is the way. If you had played Chicago last night and you had just blown the doors off and beat them by 30 points, and then tonight you played that same game against the Knicks and lost, I guarantee you the reaction tomorrow would not be what it's been today to last night's Knicks game. And I think that's where I found myself chuckling a little bit of like, yeah, that's why you got to trade Jared. I'm like, easy, damn, does it? Like,
no, yeah, they traded Darius. They were ready to go. But you only get so many of these games against what's supposed to be the creme de la creme, the cream of the crop in the East, and that's kind of what I think a lot of people put a lot of weight into this because it's the Knicks and they're the team that is perceived to be the one that could kind of snipe off the East and really ruin a lot of the Cavs' expectations. But it's game one, guys.
Was Jared Allen's joke about the lights being brighter than expected last night, was that a bad look by Jared Allen? And if so, what's going on with you, man? Talk to me. All right? We're here to help. Trust Tree with a Nest. It's okay. This is a safe place. And the Patriots' unseen advantage on Sunday, it's right under your nose. It was right under their nose. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.